Well, Eric gave me a list of things to do. It's 11:45. I'm sure that your crock pot is going to go off in 20 minutes. It's funny, one time I was asked to pulpit supply for a guy up in Sonora. At this time, I was working at Ironwood Christian Camp out in the desert, just about 22 miles out of Barstow. So it was about a seven-hour trip to get up there. I went up the night before and stayed at a friend's house, and so I'm there waiting to preach. And he says, we start at 6 and we are done at 7. Okay. So he's gone, and the deacons had a business meeting that lasted till 5 minutes to 7. And so I stood up there and I said, well, let's close in prayer. And the head deacon goes, what do you mean? I go, pastor says that it's over at 7, so I've got 5 minutes. I can't even get started. But they let me preach, so. Yeah. Well, about myself. I was born in September 20th, 1959. I'm 63 years old. At the age of 5, I realized that I was a sinner and that I needed the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And I asked the Lord to come into my life and save me. So for 58 years, I've been a Christian. You know, naturally, a lot of people knew long before I was 5 that I needed the Lord. And they knew long after I was 5 that I had the Lord. But, we are human beings. And I was quite energetic. And I had a heart for ministry. And at the age, I can't remember if it was 12 or 14 now, I used to remember. Then I had COVID, and it's funny, some of my short-term memory has gone. But somewhere between 12 and 14 years old, I felt that the Lord wanted me to start a Christian camp on the western slope of the Sierra Nevadas, somewhere between Yosemite and Kings Canyon. So when I went to Bible college, I did whatever I could when it comes to Christian camping and recreational leadership and things along that line. So it ended up in 1992 we went out to Camp Ironwood, and we worked there for 7 years. And the Lord kept being real heavy on my heart, and he says, you know, Tom, I want you to go and start that camp. So we came up here in the last part of 1999 and started Higher Ground Christian Camp. We started first in tent camping along Dinky Creek Road for a week, and then we were able to find a location, which was down Music Farm Road into Jose Basin, and it was an old logging camp, and it had its cabins, old cabins, but we used them anyway. And a water tower house, and underneath that, the first floor of the water tower house was the restroom facilities, and we had a lodge there. And so we were able to use that facility, and we stopped any kind of camping around 2015, because at first we had water problems, and then we had the beetle trees were falling. And we said, this is not safe, and so we stopped doing that. I've worked for Sierra Unified School District for 10 years, and now I am in heaven. I am working for Big Creek School, and it is a wonderful blessing to work for Big Creek School. And I am not saying that because the boss is sitting in the back row. I'm saying that because that's the truth. I am so refreshed. My wife and I are both refreshed to be able to be up here. It was nice to get to know some of your church members and your pastor over at the Friday morning coffee clutch. I would go in there in the mornings and finally got to meet them and sit down and finally drink a cup of coffee with them. And then I would get in my bus and take the kids down to Sierra. While I was at Ironwood, a evangelist came to our church. You know, and I was at Ironwood. My job was building maintenance. To give you an idea what my job was, I had 80 swamp coolers to keep going during the summer, and I was the only one. I had all those buildings and all the bathrooms and the sinks and the toilets to keep going. It got to a point to where I decided, you know what? Instead of somebody calling me at 11 o'clock at night to come down and plunge a toilet, we're going to put good plungers in the bathrooms. And when the college students come to be the counselors for the summer, they're going to have a lesson in how to operate it. And I gave them a lesson how to operate it. And I told them, I said, for the weeks that those kids are here, you are their parents. And parents do the plunging. And so here's how it works. And I never had to be awakened late at night anymore because they all learned the lesson. So while I was there, you know, I was on 24-hour day call. An evangelist came to our church and they said, now, is there, at the beginning of the service, he says, is there a ministry that you think your church could be doing that they're not doing? And I said, yes. And he says, now think about that ministry. And I'm going to ask you about that at the end of the service. And I thought, you know what? We lived just a little over an hour from Baker. Baker's known for the tallest thermometer in the world. But there was a little prison there. And they would keep the guys that were getting ready to come back into society. So that was their last stop. And I said, yeah, we could start a prison ministry up there. There's a people up there that need the Lord. So at the end of the service, he goes, now how many of you said that there was a ministry? And I raised my hand. He goes, now, how many of you be willing to start that ministry? I'm like, well, I can't do that because I'm on 24-hour call. I'm the only guy there and blah, blah, blah. So I'll give it a shot. I'll go talk to the director of the camp. And the director of the camp said, I'll give you Wednesday nights. I'm like, okay, I guess I got to start a ministry. So I went up to the prison, and praise the Lord, the warden was a Christian. And I said, I would like to start a ministry. And he goes, well, what denomination are you? I says, well, let me preface that with this. I'm a biblicist. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God without error. And I'm a biblicist by conviction. I'm a Baptist by choice. And he goes, that's good enough for me. And I said, we would like to come up here on Wednesdays, and we would like to minister to these men, but we would like to be able to bring in cake and cookies and all that other kind of stuff. He said, that'll be great. So the ladies in our church joined with the ministry and made cakes and stuff like that. I remember one time, we went up there, and the guys were like, what are you doing here? I go, well, it's Wednesday night. Yeah, but it's Christmas Eve. And I go, why don't we spend Christmas Eve together? And we brought our families up and had a wonderful time. And they were just like blown away that we would take time out of our lives on Christmas Eve to come up and spend it with them, you know. And to show you how the Lord blesses you, this might seem small. There was a Burger King in town that after the service, we would go over there. It would normally be three or four of us guys, sometimes just two of us. And we would go over there and we would have dinner. And the manager said, I notice you in here every Wednesday night. What are you guys doing? You're all dressed up. What are you guys doing? I said, we started a prison ministry over at the prison, and we're preaching to the prisoners. He goes, every time you guys come in here, you get a free meal. So when we took our families, we all got free meals. It was the same. And it was like, you know, the Lord blesses you for stepping out and doing what he's called you to do. If you never step out and do what the Lord's called you to do, you will be miserable. You will wish you had. So anyway, I started a prison ministry, and then we did that for two and a half years, and then that's when the Lord said, okay, I'm ready for you to come up to halfway between Yosemite and Kings Canyon and get busy. And so here I am. It was nice how the Lord tied in my wife and I. Her father happened to be a camp director in Northfield, Massachusetts. And so she'd grown up in the camping ministry, and so it wasn't something that she wasn't familiar with, and so that made things a little bit easier on me. God has been good. God has been good. So if you take your little list, you'll notice there's a lot of B's there, and you're going to go, oh my goodness, we aren't going to get out by 1 o'clock. But yes, you will, because there are going to be some blank B's, because I'm going to leave you fill in the rest. But as you can see here, what to be in 2023. And I want to start off with something that's very, very, very important to be, first and foremost, is if you haven't been already, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. First and foremost, you say, why, Tom? Because really, you can't effectively be the rest of these. Because some of the rest of these are hard. And we need the Lord's guidance and direction to be able to do it. And so, you know, there's a lot of different statements for that. Be saved. Some people say, well, what's saved? Well, being born again. Well, what's being born again? Well, maybe this is easier. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. A lot of people think that, you know, I don't choose to go to hell. But the fact of the matter is, if you don't choose to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're already headed there. It's not a choice. We are born as sinners. Thank you, Adam and Eve. You know, who sinned? And because of that sin, we are all destined for eternity in hell. But God loved us so much that he sent his Son down to die on the cross for our sins. John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot even see it. He's not even going to know what heaven looks like. He's going to be out of luck. Now, my life's verses are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, this I'm going to say right now, disclaimer. I've been in the King James Bible all my life, so you're going to get King James today, so please forgive me. You love me anyway? That's how I'm feeling about you. You know. I'm going to get off of what I'm talking about because I want to tell you about it at the end, if I remember. Okay, so the first B is be saved. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not come to a point when you realize you're a sinner, if there's anyone in here that can raise their hand and say, I know that I'm not a sinner, you just are definitely proving that you are because you are not telling the truth. Okay, so you're lying. So you're a sinner. How to accept Christ as your Savior? Simply this. Realize you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, is God, and that he died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and that he rose again 3 days later. And accept him to be your Savior. So number two is be trusting in God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now, I'm going to try to do some tying in today of this message with our experience on Labor Day weekend 2020. You guys remember that day, those days? How many of you lost a place in those days? Okay. Before we get going any further, I'll give you a little before. My wife and I went over to my dad's place. He lives over in Napomo, over by Arroyo Grande, which is near Pismo Beach, if you've never been over there. And one of his wells, we were working on one of his wells. And my brother came up from Oxnard, and we were there. We were going to spend the whole week in there trying to get this well operating. A tree had fallen down and broken everything, and so we were going to get it back going. The clothes on our backs, and that's all we had. Praise the Lord. The Lord worked it out, because as you look back, you can see how the Lord was working. We were planning on taking my wife's car over there because it gets better gas mileage than our truck got. And I thought, you know, my brother's bringing up the tools. We'll take the car. My sister calls me and she says, do you still have kayaks from camp? I go, yeah, I've got some. She says, could you get me two of them and bring them over? I said, okay. So I said, well, we'll take the truck. It's a good thing we took the truck because our car was burnt to the ground. This was a couple weeks before we went over there. So a couple weeks out, God was already had it planned. Tom, you're not taking the car because you're going to need your truck. And so I'm going to have you take your truck, and I'll tell you what's going to happen later. So we're there over there at weekend. The truck's there. I get a call saying there's a fire at Big Creek. It's jumped the river. It's going towards North Fork. Well, that has happened before since I've been up here. Seems that's the direction it likes to go. I wasn't worried. We had to go out of the canyon. We live on a ranch on 2 miles of dirt road. The canyon is like 5 miles of dirt road, and there's several families up there. I got that information when I drove out of the canyon, got a signal. Says, oh, I got a message. Oh, okay, there's a fire in Big Creek, no big deal. Hope they're okay up there. We came in the following day on Sunday. I had to go out for something, and it was around 1 o'clock, and they said, Tom, if you are anywhere near, I don't know where you're at, if you are anywhere near your house, you need to get to the house, you need to get all your possessions out of there, because the fire has now jumped back the river by Redinger, and it's coming up the basin. Well, I'm 4 hours away, okay? And I'm concerned about what's happening, but I realize there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. I had to trust God at that point. I had to take my life verse and put it into action. I had to trust God. Helene's going, let's go, let's go, let's go. I go, honey, it's 4 hours there. That fire can be there and be through there and be gone by the time we get there. So I just went to prayer and I said, Lord, we're here. You're there. Do what you want to do. And so we stayed there. And we stayed at the ranch. We ended up staying there for a couple weeks. And it was a week until we found out that, yes, our place was gone, a total loss. We got pictures. You know, it's been wonderful to trust in the Lord. Because now we had to trust in the Lord for everything, right? We know we don't have a place. We don't have any clothes. We don't have but the one vehicle, the truck. Everything else is gone. But you know what? In bad times, you really should look for the good. I was a collector. I had a lot of vehicles, a lot. You know, being a camp, I'm gonna give an excuse, and my wife's gonna go, no, that's not it, honey. But I'm gonna give the excuse. Okay, if I happen to have a Jeep Grand Cherokee, someone else knows that I have a Jeep Grand Cherokee. They give me a Jeep Grand Cherokee, so that way I don't have to spend the money, because we were missionaries, as that we don't have to spend the money. We can take parts off of it. So yeah, that was a good excuse. And so yeah, I probably had two of everything. And CHP came up to mark all the stuff that was DMV. It started at 1 and went to 42. 42. And my son had said to me a year or so before this, Dad, what are you going to do? How are you going to, if you were to pass away today, how am I going to clean this? I live in Phoenix, Arizona. How am I going to get this cleaned up? And the Lord says, Tom, don't worry about that. I've got it all planned. You know, I am so glad that fire came through, because it would have cost me much, much money, a lot of money, to hook those things up, take them down, and put them into scrap. And I probably would have got less for them and all that stuff. Well, praise the Lord, FEMA came through and cleaned the whole place up. It didn't cost us a dime. So it's just, you know, so trust in the Lord. Be trusting in God. Okay, be kind. Thirdly, be kind. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 32 says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, there's also a couple more B's that you could say right there. Be tenderhearted. Be forgiving. Right there in the verse. You know, it's when I look at Christ's death on the cross, I do not see the picture that we all see. Because that's not how it was. If you read the scripture, you know, he was whipped with a cat of nine tails. Bone, rock, whatever, tied into that cat of nine tails. So that way, when they put that, wrap that thing around him and pulled, it would rip flesh. Most people who were whipped by the cat of nine tails, and if they got 40 lashes, they didn't live. Lord got 40, save one. So 39. So this is our Lord, God, who loved us enough, our sinful selves loved us enough to come down and take that on the cross. The crown of thorns. Out in the desert, we have mesquite trees, and they have thorns. And so I was talking to a guy that had been in the Holy Land, and they said it's very similar. They've got a tree very similar over there. Thorns anywhere from 1.5 to 3 inches long. They made that crown of thorns for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't set it on his head. They pounded on his head. So I looked at it similar as something between my, underneath my fingernail. You know, between my skin and his scalp, that crown of thorns set down. He went through a lot for us. He loved us that much. He forgave us that much to go through that suffering. And if he loved us that much, don't you think he's concerned that much for us? Absolutely. But be kind to people. He was kind enough to give his life up for us. Be kind. What do you get out of not being kind to somebody? I mean, seriously. What do you get? I mean, I can't understand that. I can't understand people who are willing not to be kind. Let's go to the next one. Be patient. James 1. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. We will be coming back to this again, but I have to start in verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. We need to be patient. In driving up here, the bus, for the past 4 years for Sierra Unified, I learned to be patient. I learned that I'll get there when I get there. And I have always been an impatient person when it comes to stuff like that. And still, you know, I get a little sinful and I say, come on, you idiot, get out of the way. You know, why didn't you use that turnout? You know, you think about it, if you only be like a minute or two behind the person that's going super fast. Isn't that right? That's right. It's like, what does it matter? I stay alive, and I don't hurt anybody. But be patient. You know, there's going to be people that are going to get under your skin, but you need to be patient with them. Back to Jesus. Look how patient he is with us. I should be dead. You know, we all should be dead. He should have said, you know what? I'm pulling the plug on your life, Tom. You just don't get it. You keep sinning. You keep sinning. You keep doing the same thing over again. Your life is not where I want it to be. And he is still patient. He says, you know what? I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to give you another chance. And I say, praise the Lord for that. Here's the one that you won't find in the Bible, really, too much, because it doesn't say that exactly. But be last. Be last. When I was a kid, around 5 or 6 years old, there was a little song that we sang in junior church. It went like this. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. Jesus and others and you, in the life of each girl and each boy or man and woman. J is for Jesus, for he has first place. O is for others you meet face to face. Y is for you, and whatever you do, put yourself last and spell joy. And that has been something of my life. That's how I like to live my life. I want to put others first because I do have a joy about that. I do have joy in doing that. Jesus Christ put us first. And he gave it all up for us first. He could have pulled the plug a long time ago. He could have said, you know what? Let's do, we promised we wouldn't do a worldwide flood anymore, but let's eliminate everybody and start over again. But he didn't. So be last. Be last. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 3 and following. Philippians 2 and verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Okay? So that's part of being last. The other guy better than yourself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, verse number 5 reads this way in the King James, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of putting others first. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He put himself last for us. We should put ourselves last for others. Next, be joyful. Be joyful. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Having a positive, joyful life is a wonderful life. It really is. I'm a positive person. I'm more positive than I am negative. When I get negative, I get really bummed. Okay? Because I don't like being there. Okay? There is a lot of positive that you can find. Now, in the fire, there was a lot of positive. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. It really was. And people might think, what in the world? You lost your house? You know, I got to see how God provides. When we were over in Santa Maria, we had our truck, and I told my wife, I go, honey, my sister was sitting there, honey, maybe we should look for a fifth wheel. My sister goes, hey, I have a friend who has a fifth wheel. They tried selling it to me, but it was too big. Maybe I should give them a call, see if they still have it. I go, go ahead. She called them. They still had it, and we said, can we come take a look at it? Sure. Why don't you give us a little time just to clean it up inside, because it had been sitting for a long time. Okay, fine. So they did a little cleaning up inside. We went over to see it, and I can get excited over things that my wife would not get excited over. Guys, you agree? Okay. All right. That my wife would not get excited over. And I, the Lord sort of laid on my heart saying, Tom, I want you to not say anything. I want your wife to go in there and see it, and I want you both to like whatever it is that you're going to be living in. Well, that's understandable. If you're going to live in it every day, you know, she better like it. So we went inside and we looked around at it and everything like that. And I walked in and I just loved it. First sight, I loved it. Not because, oh yeah, it's another vehicle. Something else to put on DMV. But I liked it. I like the old honey pine wood, and it was just all pine. Honey oak wood. It's really beautiful, I think. But I thought, okay, well, we'll just let her look it over. So we're looking and over, talking it over, and we both ask, you know, could we give us a minute, for us to talk? And come find out, she loved it too. And we bought the first one that we looked at. And so I asked him, I said, well, you know, we're very interested into it. We come up with a price. And this was during the first week before we found out that we did have a total loss. So we worked out a price, and I go, well, I'm going to have to come up with the money. Well, our church called us. Our youth pastor called us, and he goes, hey, Tom, I'm just calling, you know, have you heard anything about it or anything like that? No, I haven't heard about it for sure, but I'm pretty sure that it's total loss. The guys from Cal Fire that I know said the flames came through there, probably about 2,000 degrees is what they said, and there's nothing to be saved there. And it's probably gone. So right now we're working and looking at a fifth wheel. And he goes, so how much is it? And I told him how much I was gonna figure it was gonna cost buying the fifth wheel, getting it licensed, all that kind of stuff. And he says, we want to buy it for you. So I'm like, wow, praise the Lord. And that's how God worked the whole fire time. I've talked to people that said, man, blah, blah, blah. I just wish I could get rid of this stuff and get rid of that. I said, have a fire sale. There were so many things. Yes, it was bad. We lost all four of our pets. Okay, now what are we going to do? But, the Lord kept providing. Okay, we have this fifth wheel. I need to put a fifth wheel hitch in the back of my truck. Okay, that got provided for. Now, where are we going to live? Where am I going to park this thing? You know, how do I find out how to do that? So I'm talking with my wife's boss, Jeff, and we knew that they had a single man teacher that was living there, that they were wanting him to get his fifth wheel off and just go down, you know, keep going, you know. The guy's trying to fall in love, and who's going to live in a fifth wheel? You know, how are you going to get a lady that has her own house to sell her house and live in a fifth wheel? So they were trying to help him on. He still works for them down there. I knew that. And so I wasn't going to ask them if we could stay there. But the first thing that was in my heart was, I really wish we could stay where Helene works. I was talking to Jeff about different things because he wanted to know how's it going, everything like that. And he goes, well, Tom, don't be afraid to ask us. I just blew that off. I just kept going because I know what they were wanting to do. And I just lost my house and everything. And I don't want to be someplace for 5 months or 6 months. I want to be someplace for a while, okay? I don't want to start that turmoil of not having any kind of roots and being a nomad. But if the Lord wanted us to do that, that's perfectly fine. So we kept talking, and he would interject, Tom, don't be afraid to ask us. I blew it off. The third time he goes, Tom, don't be afraid to ask us. I go, okay, Jeff, here's what I'm thinking. If I ask you, I don't want to be there for 6 months. I don't want to be there for a year. I want to be there until the Lord moves us on. And if that's 10 years, that's 10 years. I can't do that. I don't want to do that to my wife. We're already displaced, you know. And so he goes, that'll be fine. I'm like, cool. So we took our trailer over there, and Helene walks from here to the door to work. I do all the driving. But God continued to show himself to be faithful. And I sort of wish everyone else could go through that whole scene, because it's been wonderful. Sometimes we get complacent and we do our own thing. We had to just literally trust in the Lord. One guy gave me 5 cards for Ace Hardware. And I go, cool, I can go buy my tools now. He goes, well, no. What tools do you need? No, that's not what this is for. There are people out there that want to help you, Tom. And so what do you need? You use these when you want to do something else. But no. And tools were provided and everything like that. God is just good. It just gives you great joy, you know. And so be joyful. Be thankful. Be thankful. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 18. Verse number 16 says, rejoice evermore. So that's about being joyful. Verse number 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be thankful. I am thankful that I was over on the coast because we had purchased the water tender from over by Meadow Lakes, the fire company. No, what was the name of the fire? Anyway, the volunteer fire department over there, we had purchased that, and I probably would have been there trying to fight fire to the last minute, and then it would have been a last minute. And I would have lost my wife. I would have lost myself. So I wasn't there. That was another thing that God did. He put me too far away. Too far away. Because I would have done my best to fight the fire as it came. He had a plan, and his plan was for us not to ever live back down there. His plan was for me never to have to clear snow anymore. Because how many have been down Beale Fire Road? I mean, not Beale Fire Road, but Music Farm Road. I kept that road. I kept that road clear all the way down to our place, which was about a mile and a quarter down. So when it snowed 3 feet, I had a mile and a quarter of snow to have to clear. And one time it took, and I never got it clear. I spent a whole Thanksgiving, 4 days, of trying to clear that road so we can get out, you know. And so if we can't get out, then emergency services can't get in. And so it's been great being down where we're at. It's been great to be able to instead of, I tell my wife, honey, I'm going to run down to Ace Hardware. I'll be back as soon as possible. She knew that was going to be about 2 hours, maybe more, because I'm really shy and I don't do much talking. I would find somebody down at Ace Hardware. Hey, how's it going? We'd sit around and talk, and then someone else would come around the corner, and it would be 2 hours before I got back. But now it's like 3 minutes there and back. But be thankful and be prayerful. Verse number 17 of 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. And we can. We can pray without ceasing. We pray about every little dinky thing in our life and the big stuff. And because the Lord is wanting to be 100% in our life. He wants to 100% be there and help direct us and lead us in our life. And if we let him do that, I'm telling you what, peace, peace, peace. I can see how the Lord moved me up here. I can look back and see it. And I had a total peace about working up here at Big Creek. I didn't have any questions about it. I wasn't worried about it. And it has been a long time, you know, that way. I had an opportunity of changing jobs a few years ago and leaving Sierra. And I just, even though I wanted to leave Sierra, I didn't have peace about it. So I stayed there. I had total peace about it, this. It's just, and God is just blessed. He's given me great people to work with. And what's really neat is majority, if not all of them, seem to be like Christians. And so I can talk, and I have. I'm talking about God. Because God is real. If people that don't have God don't finally take him, what a life they've missed out on. What a life they've missed out on. Now, I've given you a bunch of lines because I want you to start thinking about other things. I just thought about these that I could have just rambled on about. Be honest. Be faithful. Be an encouragement. Be positive. Be helpful. Be forgiving. And this is pretty important to me. Be real. Okay? The Lord talked about unreal people in Scripture. They were called Pharisees and Sadducees. He called them what? Hypocrites. Okay? Don't be a hypocrite. Be real. Be how God made you to be. Because you have to realize you are His creation. He gave you your personality. He gave you all of that. He knows who you are. And so be real. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for how you want to be in our lives and how you want us to just let you lead in every aspect of our life. I am thankful that you took our place. I am thankful for the new life that you've given us, the new people that we've met, and the new direction that you have for us. And Lord, I just pray that we will realize that as your children, you're going to do what's best for us. We may not recognize it to be best, losing everything we have, but it's best. And I pray that we would be willing to accept what you have for us. And I ask this in your precious name. Amen.